Penguin Random House Audio presents Metahuman, Unleashing Your Infinite Potential. This is the author, Deepak Chopra. A personal preface, Going Beyond. This book is an invitation to find out who you really are, beginning with two simple questions. In moments when you feel very happy, do you also watch yourself being happy? When you happen to get angry, is some part of you totally free of anger? If you answer yes to both questions, you can stop listening. You have arrived. You have gone beyond everyday awareness, and this going beyond is what it takes to know who you really are. Self-knowledge will unfold for you every day. In time, or perhaps at this very moment, you will see yourself living in the light. Like the great Bengali poet Rabindranath Tagore, you can say that I exist is a perpetual surprise. It would be fascinating to meet you, because your existence, no doubt, is quite unusual. You might even assume that you are unique. You look around and see that the vast majority of people are simply happy when they're happy and angry when they're angry. But not you. You see beyond. When I began writing books 30 years ago, there was no question that being happy and getting angry were normal, without the added element of watching yourself. A word like mindfulness wasn't in the air. Meditation was still considered dubious by the average person, and the whole question of higher consciousness was viewed with hard-eyed skepticism. I was a young Boston doctor with a growing family, and my days were consumed with work, servicing a large patient roster and traveling every day between two or more hospitals. When I was happy about a patient with a thyroid condition getting well, did I watch myself being happy? Absolutely not. If the wrong prescription was filled by a careless pharmacist, was a part of me not at all upset, standing by like a silent witness? No. In common with everyone else I knew, I was happy or angry, without any mystery about it. But coming from India, I could reach back into my childhood for clues about a different state of being. According to an ancient Upanishad, the human mind is like two birds sitting on a branch. One of the birds is eating the fruit of the tree, while the other lovingly looks on. Since I went for some years to a school run by an order of Catholic brothers, there were other clues from a different source, such as Jesus telling his disciples to be in the world but not of it. If you Google that phrase, you'll find a wealth of confusion about what it actually means. But the kernel of the teaching is that there is a difference between buying into worldly life and not buying into it. When you don't buy into it, Jesus teaches, you are somehow with God. I wish I could say that these clues about higher consciousness transfixed me and shaped my life. They did not. I stored them in the back of my mind, never calling upon them in my busy, stress-filled life. There was no budding awareness of the truth with a capital T, which is that I and everyone else in the world embody the mystery of existence. This is the reason, ultimately, why Tagore found himself perpetually surprised. When you wake up to reality, you face the mystery of existence intimately and personally. There could be no mystery without you. In a sentence or two, I've taken some giant leaps, I know. There's a yawning gulf between the things a person must do in a day, beginning with waking up, getting dressed, going to work, and so on, and the mystery of existence. A society based on reason and science looks with skepticism on any such notion as being in the world but not of it, or truth, with a capital T. We live together in a reality that obeys the rule of what you see is what you get. The physical world confronts us. We come to grips with its many challenges. And as the rational mind probes the dark unknown, what emerges are new facts and data, not a sense of wonder that we even exist. What first coaxed me into facing the mystery of life and the mystery of myself as a human being was medicine. I practiced endocrinology, a specialty that fascinated me because hormones are unique chemicals. They can make you sluggish and dull if you have a thyroid deficiency. They can make you run away or fight when confronted by a threat. A burst of adrenaline is responsible for a common reaction to a street magician levitating before our very eyes as onlookers jump back or run away. We are so used to accepting that these behaviors are chemically induced that almost everyone connects adolescent behavior with raging hormones. Even when sexual drive is tamed somewhat, it is never truly tamed, just as falling in love is never rational. If I had been satisfied to accept this common sense connection between hormones and the effects they cause, there would be no more story. But there is a fly in the ointment, and it disrupts things far beyond hormones. It potentially overturns reality itself. There is a brain hormone called oxytocin that has gained the popular name of the love hormone because the presence of higher levels of this hormone in the brain makes a person more affectionate and trusting. But this one molecule secreted by the pituitary gland is much more complex than that. Higher levels are secreted in the mother during birth and breastfeeding, promoting a close bond with the baby. If you pet your dog for a while, oxytocin goes up in both you and your dog. Oxytocin makes people love their national flag more while being indifferent to the flags of other countries. During sexual activity, oxytocin rises in women, making them bond with their sexual partners emotionally. But the effect doesn't seem to happen in men. Something strange must be going on, and yet these complex findings don't shake the faith of most endocrinologists. I was different. What bothered me was that oxytocin doesn't actually do anything it is credited with doing unless the mind goes along with it. A woman won't have more affection for a sexual partner if she's coerced, frightened, angry, or simply distracted by something more important. Your oxytocin won't go up if you pet a dog you dislike. You won't love your country's flag if you're forced to salute it by an authoritarian regime. I came to see the explosive effect of the mind-body connection. It was as if we are two creatures, one a robot that can be programmed by chemicals, the other a free agent who thinks, considers, and decides. These two creatures are seemingly incompatible. They have no right to exist together, and yet they do, as reflected in the setup of our nervous system. One part operates automatically, enabling life to go on without your thinking about it. You don't have to think to keep breathing or to have your heartbeat, but you can consciously take control, and the voluntary nervous system allows you to alter your breathing and even, with a little practice, slow down your heart rate. Suddenly, we are on the verge of a mystery because something must decide whether to take action or not. That something cannot be the brain because the brain is indifferent about whether it employs either side of the central nervous system. On the involuntary side, the brain increases your heart rate if you run a marathon. But it was you who decided to run the marathon in the first place. So who is this you? That niggling question is what disrupts reality. At any given moment, you, that is the self, decide which nervous system to call upon. Therefore, you cannot be the creation of either one. When you see the simple fact, you are on the road to self-awareness.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?